if we're going to make it in life, we have to learn how to deal with pressure. We have to have endurance. You know, plants are planted in the spring and they endure the heat of the summer in order to have a harvest in the fall. Isn't that the way it goes? You know, we have to realize that we are going to go through some things. Paul tells us in one place, tells Timothy in the ministry, endure hardness like a good soldier. Everything, just because you're born again, because you're walking in faith, everything's not going to be easy. You know, many people think if you get into faith that, hey man, it's easy, there's no more problems. No, you'll probably have more problems. The closer you get to God and the more you're following God, the more the enemy, the Satan himself, wants to attack you because he wants to keep you from receiving the blessing. If anybody knew how to be successful under pressure, I think it was Apostle Paul. Of course, none of us ever experienced any pressure. Some of you may experience some pressure today. Somebody may have put some. You know, he said in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, Paul said, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." That's the New King James, the Living Bible, says it this way. "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We're perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going." Now, the International Reader's Version says, "We are pressed hard on all sides, but we are not beaten down. We are bewildered, but that doesn't make us lose hope. Others make us suffer, but God doesn't desert us. We are knocked down, but we are not knocked out." You know, have you ever, I guess some of you don't, but I watch boxing matches sometimes on the TV. It used to be, when I was younger, it was a lot more popular than it is today. And I've seen a guy get knocked down in the first round and come back and win the fight. He got up and he kept fighting. He endured and won the fight. You know, that sort of reminds me of my motto that I have. Anybody know what my motto is? I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That doesn't mean I hadn't been defeated before, but I just don't accept defeat and I get up and keep going. You know, Paul faced a lot of difficulties, but he continued and was a success. He said he was hard-pressed. He said he was perplexed. He said he was persecuted. He said he was knocked down. But he went on to say he was not crushed or broken, though. He was not driven to despair. He was not forsaken. He was not destroyed just because he got knocked down. He shows that while going through all these things, that God was with him and helping him every step of the way. Every one of us faces difficulties. Every one of us faces situations, and just like the scripture said, Paul said, "I don't understand why it's happening, but God is here with me, and I'm going to make it." We all face various pressures and situations. I mean, it comes to all of us. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how much faith you got. I don't care whether you're a preacher or whether you're just somebody whether you're there just a church member and you work a job and you volunteer here in the church and help things. We all face these. Now, it's how we respond to the pressure and the difficulty that really determines whether we make it or not. You know, some get overwhelmed and they just become passive. They just quit. Some people get mad and explode and lash out. Some people internalize everything, and later on they have to deal with physical problems because they internalize everything. You know, after you have suffered a defeat as a team, and I've been there and done that, to how you handle it depends on whether you win or lose the next game. I got any athletes in here know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Have you ever been defeated? And, you know, some of the guys on the team, that's it. We might as well quit playing. And I just said, hey, look, man, hey, that's one game. We still got six more games in the season. Come on, get your head up. Get in the game. Come on. Just because the enemy comes in and knocks you down, hey, get up and go on because God is with you. He's helping you. You know, I had the privilege of growing up in the home of a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin that most people have heard of. I watched how he handled difficulties of life, and he would always say, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? So let's take a look at the Word of God as it tells us about difficulties. In this scripture, we got to remember, number one, we got to remember who we are in Christ. And we all know this, and sometimes I think we forget it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then you go over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to remind ourselves who we are. We are children of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to, you need to think back to that moment when you found Jesus Christ as your Savior. Sometimes it helps to relive that day. Remember the wonderful feeling? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Remember the peace and the joy that came into your heart? See, often when we're under pressure, we forget some of this. We need to remember what God has done for us, how he has helped us in the past, and how he will do it again. You know, the song, we sing it a lot of times around here. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. You know, tell yourself who you are in Christ. When the enemy is beating you down, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. Rely on who you are in Christ when difficulties come. You know, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We got to realize we got the greater one living on the inside of us. Continually dwell and think about and rehearse over in your mind what the scripture says about you and what you have because you're in Christ. It says that you can have peace. It says that you will be delivered from trouble. It says that your needs will be supplied. It says that you don't have to be subjective to everything that the devil throws at you, but that you can stand up against him and say, get behind me, Satan. In fact, in James it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Anybody ever read that scripture? You ever looked up the word flee? It means to run from as in terror. See, when Christ died on the cross, he defeated Satan, he rose again, so Satan is defeated. He just tries to lord it over you, when you can lord it over him because of who you are in Christ. Not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Hello. Remember, God wants you to be blessed. If you read the Word of God, you find out, and go back in the Old Testament, read, he blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. He blessed many different people, David, and you could go on, you could name them, Daniel. The three Hebrew children went in a fiery furnace. He blessed them. They walked out. They weren't supposed to, but they did. Why? Because God was with them. And then I like what John says in 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I want you to notice that he told us that he wants us to be prosperous and healthy. You're looking at me like, hey, that's the Bible. I didn't make that up. That's what John the Apostle wrote. That's what he said. God is saying that he wants us to be prosperous and healthy. God has a plan for all of us to receive the blessings that God has for us. Now, in his plan, we all will not do the same thing. We are all called in different areas. Some of us are called to ministry like I am. Some of us are have secular vocations. But we're all called to be ministers of God. We're all called to be involved in the church. That's why we all the time asking you to get involved, because we need the help, but really it's to help you, because when you get involved in the ministry of helps, and it's listed right there in Corinthians, Paul lists the ministry of helps right along with the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, all the rest of them. The ministry of helps is listed right there. Now that's somebody that's like you, that sits in a pew, that works another job, but they volunteer in the church. If you notice, the tribe of Levi in the 12 tribes was the tribe that took care of all the things of God. And only a few of them were the priests. The rest of them did all the menial tasks of taking care of the temple and so forth and so on. Now, I don't have time to do that kind of all that teaching, but it's there. See, somebody said God's blueprint for your life is like a fingerprint. There is not another one like it. So don't try to be like somebody else. You know, a lot of people they try to be like somebody else. You know, but the Lord says in Psalms 37:23, he says, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The New Living says it like this. That's the New King James. The Lord directs the steps of the ungodly, steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. You know, talking about people, sometimes people try to imitate ministers. You know, especially if they're a minister. I don't know how many people I have seen try to imitate my dad. Any of y'all ever seen him like that? You know, and I won't stand on this, but he was forever standing and with his feet out over the edge, and he put his hands like this, and he would twiddle his thumbs. Anybody ever seen him do that? Yeah. You know, it's not as much as it used to be, but it used to. And they'd listen to him, and then they listened to tapes back then, and they would even try to mimic his voice. Well, what good's it going to do? Be theirself. They can learn from his teaching, but they don't have to try to be like him. You know, I guess I could be like him. I do. Sometimes I hear myself saying something, and I say, "Oh, that sounds just like Dad." But I guess that's all right, because I'm his son, and his grandson over there, Craig, traveled with him from the time he was a teenager out on the road with him in crusades for I don't know how many years, and he's probably more like his pawpaw than I am. But he's geared more that way. His personality is more that way. So him traveling with him that way, he picked up on it. But you see, that's because we are from him. Hey, we are children of God. So let's don't try to be like anybody except Jesus Christ and follow him. It said, let the mind of Christ be in you. Come on now. Anybody get anything out of this? Don't let something keep you from receiving the blessings of God. The enemy will do whatever he can to try to keep you from receiving the blessing that God said belonged to you in the Word of God. I mean, we quote that all the time, and Craig does it all the time. That's one of his favorite verses of Scripture to quote, and I guess we all of us ministers have certain verses that we always throwing in our messages, but it says that the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or like another one translation, to the full. Well, it's not abundant life when you're living on barely get along street with the soles of your shoes wore out and the seat of your britches wore out, you know, living on barely get along street right next to Grumble Alley at 33rd and Gone Street. Let's move up to Hallelujah Avenue and enjoy the blessings that God said belongs to us. Now, let us, and if you're not careful, then I was talking about people trying to imitate Dad, but remember, let's look at those that have successfully gone through stuff like him, like the people in the Bible, and see what it actually says. In Hebrews 6:12, it says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. New Living says, follow the example. That's more of those who are going to inherit the promise because of their faith and endurance. The Voice says, walk in the footsteps of the faithful who came before you, from whom you can learn to be steadfast and pursue the promises of God. It didn't say act like them, try to be like them. It says to look at their faith and follow their faith and see what their faith got them, and your faith can do the same thing. Some people have said, I'd love to have faith like Brother Hagin. Well, if you read the Word like he did, you would. I remember at night, many nights, going to sleep, and my bed's over. I had this rollaway bed. I'm over in the corner here in the living room because Mom and Dad had the bedroom, and my sister and my cousin had the bedroom, and he would be sitting at that desk, and I'd go to sleep. I'd wake up in the morning, and he's still sitting at that desk reading and studying. He'd been there all night reading the Word, studying the Word. I heard him say many times that he had read the New Testament through 150 times, and the Lord told him to quit counting because he's getting prideful. What does it say in the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you want to have that kind of faith, then do what he did to get that kind of faith. Come on, study the Word. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. The more you read the Word, the more you read, the more faith that comes in your heart. The more you read the Word, the more the Holy Spirit brings new things to you and shows you how to live the life that God wants you to live. You know, let's put our faith in God. The same God that helped those people in the Old Testament, the same God that helped a lot of people that we know in the natural today, is the same God today as he was yesteryear. He's the same God. And if he helped them back then, he can help us too now. Amen. He never changes. He's the same God. So if he brought them out, he'll bring us out. God helped them where they were. I've heard people say, well, if I could just do this or do that. No, God helped them where they were. If he helped them where they were, he can help you where you are. God came to their rescue when they needed help, when they called out. He said in the word, call on me. Then if he helped them when they called out and were in need, he will help us when we're in need. Somebody said, well, I'm in really need. Well, call on God. Now, a lot of people call on God and then they just sit around and say, I'm waiting for God to bless me. I'm waiting for God to give me a job. Hey, there ain't nobody going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, I come here to get you to go to work. People praying for God to bless them, and they're sitting in the house. Oh, Lord, bless me. Give me a job. Bring food in. Hey, Paul tells people, he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you're not careful, things can come in and get you off course. You know, you need to be careful about some of these people that are always trying to gather somebody around them, and they become their father in the faith, and then they want them to give money and honor them by giving money. That's nonsense. If you around anybody and they start that, leave fast as you can. I got a lot of people that say that I'm their father in the faith. I've never asked anybody for that, and I've never asked anybody to give me a penny. Now, people have before, but I didn't ask for it. They did it on their own. I didn't even say a word about it. See, we, in the day and age we live in, we got some of these people, they run around, they try to get a group around them, and then they're supposed to honor them as the apostle or as the prophet or whatever it is. And they do that by giving to them financially. Oh, you're getting quiet on me now, but that's the truth. I can prove it by the word of God. I better go on. Y'all shutting down on me, so I'll just forget that. I don't know why I even got off on that, but it's good anyway, and I don't take it back. Sometimes we need to remember what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. Paul was always declaring who he was in Christ, what he had in Christ, what he could do because he was in Christ. He was always thanking God for victory. But I want you to notice something that he said here in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, we'll start. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prison more frequently, in death more often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep, in the journeys, often in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Then he goes on to say, in Romans, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors in him that loved us. And then he went on in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but said, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on then in 2 Corinthians 2:14, says, now thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. Then he told Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:11, you know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. With God's help, you can overcome the difficulties. I mean, did you hear what I read, what Paul went through? And yet he said, yet in all of this, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He said, thanks be unto, in all of this, he said, thanks be to God who always brings me through to victory. He said, I was in this. I had all this, but the Lord rescued me. Hey, you may feel down and out today. You may feel like that everything's gone wrong and you have no way out. You can't even see the daylight for the darkness. But let me tell you this. If you'll call upon the Lord, he will rescue you. As you begin to call upon him in the darkness, you'll see a pinhole of light. Start going toward that light and praising God. Because praise is one thing that releases the power of God. I've got a book out there called The Untapped Power of Praise. God told me people weren't missing it in their faith or missing it in their praise. Man, start walking toward that light and praise it. And all of a sudden that light will get brighter and brighter and dispel the despair and the darkness. And you'll rise up with a shout and with the voice of victory and with the voice of triumph. Because God is your deliverer. God is your source. You know, Satan may turn the pressure up, but don't be alarmed. God has got more pressure than he does. God will dispel him. Keep on believing the word. Keep on saying the word. Keep on saying in the face of every situation, God is my helper and I will make it through. I can deal with the pressure because of who I am in Christ. I can get up and keep on going. I will receive the benefits that God said belongs to me. I will receive all of the blessings. No enemy, no devil in hell can keep me from receiving what God said belongs to me. Tonight, all I've tried to do is encourage you that we all face pressures. We all feel all of this stuff. It comes in on us. The enemy tries to destroy us. But we have to keep our faith in God. We have to keep our mouth speaking what the Word of God says. If he's coming in trying to destroy you, you got to say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. If he's coming in, you got to say, all of my needs are met according to his riches and glory. If it's disease or sickness, you've got to learn to stand and say, I'm healed, I'm whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, because by his stripes, I'm not going to be. I was healed. The Bible says you were. If you were, then you is. And I know that's not good English, but it gets the point across. Come on. Everybody stand up and let's praise God. Let's thank God because he is with us. He is bringing us through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything tonight? I just wanted to stir you up. I know that most of you know everything I already saw. Somebody, you heard somebody preaching. But it doesn't hurt for us to get stirred up again. Did I stir anybody up? All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Listen, if you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life. And what I mean by that, I mean, well, you know you've been born again, but you've gone away. You're not where you need to be with God. And then sometimes, I got this from my dad, he would say, some people, they need to know so. He says, they got to know that they're saved. See, there's a lot of people that have been coming to church, but they don't know whether they've ever been born again. So if you're in that situation, and we had that at one place. A man came, everybody thought he was a Christian. And he came down and he said, I've been in church all of my life, but I don't know that I've ever accepted Jesus. He was an elderly man. And I don't know that I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Everybody was surprised when he walked down. But you know what? It wasn't but a few months later that he went to be with the Lord. But you see, going to church doesn't save you. You have to have that know-so experience with him. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, according to what the Bible says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Or if you need somebody to pray with you about anything, the men are over here, the ladies are over here, they're ready to pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name.